For the past few weeks, we have talked about the mark of the beast, the seal of God. The counterfeit is the topic for today. It says, the 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9, the New Living Translation, it says, as my sister read, "This man will come to do the works of whom? Satan." It doesn't matter how the person dresses. It doesn't matter how the person speaks. The works is what counts, right? People may have a very kind words. They have may dress very nice, but what they are, it's always revealed. It says, this man comes to do the work of Satan. Who is Satan? Satan is the destroyer. So this man is on the business of destruction. Basically, that's what he's saying. This man is part of the team that Satan has recruited among humans to do his work against the Almighty. The great controversy between good and evil. And this man is chosen to do his work. It is a counterfeit power that has the deceptive signs and miracles. I don't know how many of you here have seen on television or have been present in a location where there is a huge crowd and there is a minister in front and he's preaching or she's preaching, and then somebody starts having some kind of a situation, and they put their hands and wow, and you're healed and everything else. Have you seen that before? I came from Brazil. And Brazil, the Pentecostal fever is enormous. So alarming that the Bishop of Rome even went to Brazil to talk to the Protestant churches, please leave us alone. Don't recruit so many of our members, because the Catholic Church lost around 20% of its membership to the Pentecost movement. It is growing like fire. And we see on television churches that are given to the members. If you call in and give us $100, we'll send you a little bottle of water from the Jordan River. And we also have, we can send to you a little stone from the area of the temple. And the people send in the money because they are so desperate for healing. They are so desperate. I remember giving Bible studies to a couple. They used to be a Roman Catholic. As I was giving Bible studies to them, they were Roman Catholics. And Maria was the name of the lady. She said, there was a time in my life that was so desperate for healing. I was, the pain was so excruciating that I went to doctors. They couldn't resolve. So I went to the priest. And I paid the priest, and the priest did his thing, and the pain is still there. So she said, in an act of desperation, I went to some witchcraft, and the pain went away. So, according to her, this evil person did something, and guess what? It said it worked. So my question to you, faithful ones, is it possible for the devil to perform miracles?
Yeah.
Be careful before you answer. Yeah. Remember, what is the topic of the message? Let me ask you, now that I prepare you for the answer, let me ask you the question again. Is it possible for the devil to perform miracles? No. He only pretends. So if he puts a dollar in your pocket and he takes it out, did he do anything?
No.
Somebody gives you something and takes it away, he has given you nothing. Just the illusion of having something for a moment. He calls the pain and then he back off and you feel good, so you give him the credit. Does the devil perform miracles? No. He just pretend. He hurt people and he back off and the people go on for the rest of their lives as his slave, because they believe that he's the one who provide them freedom. So please be careful. I want you to be very alert during this message, because we need to be alert not to be deceived. Signs and miracles. So the topic today is the counterfeit. When we talk about counterfeit, we always think about money, right? It's most of the time it comes to our mind. I was listening to a documentary that the FBI and some other agents went to Peru. And there was this place that looked like falling apart, you know, very poor house. But inside, they found very, very sophisticated machines. Printing $100 bills and $20 bills so fast. And they put surveillance cameras showing people getting out of that falling apart house with bags and bags with $1 million of fake money. So was it $1 million? No. But it looks like. And that money was sent to the United States. And have you received $100 from somebody and you wonder, is this real? The two most popular bills that are counterfeit in the United States is a $20 bill and the $100. The most popular of all of them is a $20. Why? Because sometimes people don't pay much attention to the 20. They pay more attention to the 100. Somebody gives you 100 and you have no idea who that person is. Where's my marker? And you try to see if it's real or not. So let's talk just a little bit as a matter of introduction about this. Counterfeiting is one of the oldest crime in human history. It is old as 6,000 years. The first counterfeit that we see in the Bible is a serpent. Satan using a serpent to deceive two naive human beings. And they fell for it. And here we are paying the price. U.S. currents. After the U.S. Constitution was ratified, Congress passed the Mint Act of April 2, 1792, which established the coinage system of the United States and the dollar as a principal unit of currency. So the first time, for a long time, they only used coins. They didn't have the paper. The paper came only later. It says, by this act, we became the first country in the world to adopt a decimal system for thirds. It says the government did not issue paper money as we know it until 18, almost 100 years later. So for almost 100 years, all was about coins. Everything was. So you went to go to the market, you had to carry a lot of heavy just coins. Here's one example of the first prints of money here in the United States. One says one silver dollar. And that one they didn't have yet. In God we trust. And by the way, I'm afraid that very soon they're gonna erase God. In God we trust. They're gonna put in gold we trust. Because the dollar is getting so weak that I don't know how long our money is gonna sustain the overspending of our government. Our government is going crazy. It's throwing money everywhere. It's to the point that it's making us a very poor country. You'll be amazed that some countries that we used to send money to them to help them, we may beg them to help send out some money here to help the United States. In the 19th century, banks issued their own currency. That means each bank that was existed, they print their own money. Can you imagine over 1,600 banks, each one have their own money? Can you imagine what that's what happened? They all have their own design, their own printing, and that creates a nightmare. Each note carry a different design, making it difficult to distinguish. Now notice here, 4,000 types of counterfeit, and there was only 7,000 of money. So more than half was counterfeit. Now use this in a spiritual sense. Notice what it says here. Each one have a different design, making it difficult. Isn't exactly what the devil is doing with those that call themselves Christians? You go on one side of the road, there is a church, they call themselves Christian. You go to the other side, there's another church they call Christian. And you bring them together, and they are so different. Yet Christ is only one. What is happening? Counterfeit. Yes, just like they are printing fake money, they are printing fake Christianity. They are printing, and they're walking around by loaves, claiming to be the church of God. By the way, some people are, I don't know if you noticed, but I used to be a pastor of Norco. And I used to drive to the church from our house. We lived at that time probably less, maybe a mile, less than a mile from the church. We can even walk to the church. And by just in this mile, we passed one corner, there is the Church of God. We saw the other side, there was a Church of Calvary. And then another, a little bit, there's another one. And just before I went there, I became a pastor only for 3.5 years in the church. They built another huge Pentecostal church right beside another Methodist church, and then the Seventh-day Adventist church, and then there is another Lutheran church. In one little space, close to 7 or 8 churches. That's Norco. It's a farm place. So there's more cows and horses there than people, but there are churches everywhere. How do you detect a counterfeit? Talking about money, counterfeit detection markers. You know, they have some special markers that are, and also training. You have to train people to know type of paper and color. But you know what they did in order to go over this? They bleach. They take a $5 bill and bleach and use the same paper to print 100 on that same paper. So the paper, people that try to fill the paper cannot, because it's the same paper. It's produced by the United States. All that they do, they take a 5 and turn it to a 50, or take a 5 and turn it to a 100. So that is it's very difficult to detect. Hidden secured fixtures. There are some secured fixtures in the $100 bill and all the bills that most of the population don't even know that is there. So how can we use it? Here's another point in the spiritual, applying the spirituality. How can you detect something that you do not know that exists? So you need to be informed. Portraits and design feature. Sometimes you take a note and you see Ulysses, you know, the president, and you see, if you take a glass, you see right under the call, you see there his name. But with plain eye, cannot see. With the regular glasses, you have to be a very sophisticated one to find. So they have all those things. Federal Reserve and Treasury seals, that's obvious, but that's easy to copy. Borders and serial numbers. Every single detail is with intent to keep its authenticity. When in doubt, and this is one that I add for myself. When in doubt, what do you do? Now, all of you are familiar with this expression. If it is too good to be true, if it is too good to be true, is because it is not. But you see, the people that try to deceive you, they know that you have something that may be easy for him to target or she to target you. Greed. Let's be honest. Everyone here would like to change $100 bill for a 10, right? If you can give 10 and get 100, would you not do it? Why not, right? If you can give somebody 10 and the person says, it become 100, oh, why not? Let's go for it. The problem is that the person who is deceived sometimes is as bad as the one who is doing the deception. It is the same motivation. One is greed, another one is greed. Both of them are act on the same weakness. One is the user and the one is being used. But it's the same thing. So if you are deceived, don't blame the one who is trying to deceive you, because there is something in you that motivates that person to approach you. By the way, how many of you here get spam? Bad emails, right? Now, don't raise your hand. How many of you, out of curiosity, do click? How many times we get emails saying, we got your check. You know that you have no check coming. Why do you go and click that thing? And when you do click, you send a message to somebody there in Nigeria, or somebody in India. And they grab your name, they know that you exist because you did click, and the pursuit starts. They go after you, using the light to detect the counterfeit. You know the UV light, the ultraviolet light they use to, I'm using that to a symbolism, so I want you to understand that the way for you to know the difference between what is wrong and right and wrong, you need the light. Without the light, you won't make it. But what happens once the light is taken away from you? I have seen people that are, they lost their sight, but they walk around the house like they can see everything. Do you know why? They know where the table is. They know where the chair is. They know they go to the restroom. They live by themselves and they have no sight. How could that be? Because they put a picture with their senses. They put a picture, a print, in their mind. And so they use that to know exactly where the chair is. I noticed that very common when they put the ramp here in the church, without noticing, I open the door and I put a movement to go all the way down and realize that the foot found the cement too quickly, because it was no longer, I didn't have to take a step. But in my mind, it was still registered that I needed to take a step down. So that's what happens. Let's go on. Check the source. If somebody tells you, wow, do you know that we're going to receive, and by the way, we saw this on the internet all the time. If you are this age, or say, there is a check coming for you. Click here. And the people go and click. Check the source where it's coming from. Don't be lazy. Search. Check. Do we know that the Bible says about the Bereans? Your brothers and sisters from Berea? They were noble. You know why they are noble? Because they are not lazy. They will come and listen to Paul and listen to this very spirit-filled people, but yet they didn't say, oh, he's Paul, so whatever he says is right. Let me just put that in my brain. No, they will write down, take notes, and they go home and they check it out. Use the light to check. Now, the Bible speaks about counterfeit prophets, counterfeit signs, counterfeit miracles. It also warns about counterfeit preachers. Oh, yes, preachers. Even Seventh-day Adventist preachers. Counterfeit teachers, counterfeit Christ. Test everything in the Word. Learn to discern counterfeits. If you know the best protection for you not to be deceived is for you to know what is the real thing. Sometimes we are so preoccupied with what is wrong that we imprint a lot of things in our brain that doesn't belong there in the first place. Put what is right in your mind and what is wrong will be easily identified. This man will come to do the work of Satan. We already read this. With counterfeit power and signs and miracles. That is 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 9. Let's read verse 10 as well. In verse 10 it says, he will use every kind of evil deception to fool those on their way to where? To where he is. He is the destroyer. So whatever is, you know, if you don't want to be burned, walk away from the fire. Why would you go to the fire if you don't want to be burned? He is the destroyer. If you go to him, destruction is there. Because they refuse to love and accept the truth that would save them. They reject salvation and they expose themselves to the destroyer. For such men are counterfeit apostles. Deceitful workers. Masquerading as apostles of Christ, yet they were not. Then the Lord Jesus Christ says, these prophets are telling, no, this is the Lord, Jehovah says, then the Lord said, these prophets are telling lies in my name. And by the way, they have no shame. They speak in the name of God and they have no conscience. They fear nothing. That's why they pretend to be what they are not. By the way, we do have some politicians that sounds exactly the same way, don't they? They stand before the people and they say things that everybody knows is a lie, but they, you look at their face, looks like they actually believe what they're saying. I did not send them or tell them to speak. I did not give them any message. They prophesize of visions and revelations they have never seen or heard. It's all a lie. They speak foolishness made up in their own lying hearts or minds. That's Jeremiah 14:14, New Living Translation. Brothers and sisters, he says, I did not send these counterfeit prophets, yet they run. I did not speak to them, and yet they prophesy. Jeremiah 23:21, That's the Amplified Bible version. I am shocked that you are turning away so soon from God. I don't know if you haven't noticed this, but sometimes we see people being baptized. You know, sometimes it takes months and months for them to be prepared to be baptized. And then they are baptized. One Sabbath they come to church, and then the second Sabbath they just disappear. What happened to them? What happened to those people that are, say, oh, I was Seventh-day Adventist? Let me tell you a reality. A person who was, he have never been. If you really become a Christian, you never go back. But if you pretend to be a Christian, then turning back is natural. I am shocked that you are turning away so soon from God. Who called you to himself, to the love and mercy of Christ, but yet you are following a different way that pretends, there's the counterfeit, that pretends to be good news. If it is too good to be true, it's because it's not true. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, and let's read verse 7 as well. New Living Translation. Verse 7 says, but is not the good news at all. You are being fooled by those who deliberately twist the truth concerning Christ. They are presented to you a fake Christ. And you know what a fake Christ does to people? Turn them into fake Christians. And they are multiplying by the bunch. Have you noticed that sometimes keep playing between facts and fake? People sometimes play a very dangerous game. They keep back and forth, back and forth. Fact and fake. There is a distinction. Yes, turn the fake down and bring the facts up. Have you noticed that sometimes you see a lot of facts and you don't realize that right there, there is a tiny little fake hidden. And if you are not careful, you embrace the whole thing as the truth and then you don't realize. By the way, I say this in a baptismal class, and some of the young people that attend the baptismal class, they know this. If something is 99.9999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999 The math is very simple. It's 100% a lie. A thing that is 99.99999% truth is 100% lie. Because it takes one dot to spoil the whole thing. For either it is all for God or it's all for Satan. There is no compromise. Don't pretend there is a gray area because there's no. Now, some people are very part of the herd. They like to be puppets. And they open their brains and let people put all the fake stuff on their minds. They turn on their phones and they know that something is fake, but they keep feeding themselves with that stuff. Everything goes inside of your mind dictates what kind of person you become. Garbage in. You want to say what it is the next? Garbage in. Is a common sense. There's no other way. Whatever you feed yourself, that's what you become. Examine yourselves to see if your faith it is fake or if it's real. Test yourselves. Don't take yourselves for granted. Surely you know that Jesus Christ is among you. How? If not, you have failed the test of having a very real faith. The products of your faith has to be seen. God on the inside. The Bible says the Holy Spirit wants to make us the temple of God. The only way, during the Sabbath school lesson, somebody was talking about, oh, God makes us holy. If God is not present, holiness cannot be present. The only way that holiness can be present is when God is present. The Sabbath is holy because Abba is there. Right in the middle of the word Sabbath, Abba is there. That's why the Sabbath is holy. You take Abba out of the word Sabbath, you end up with Saturday, which is no longer holy. Because what makes the difference is which God is in the middle of the Sabbath. If it's Abba, it is holy. If it's Saturn, it's no longer holy. Have you seen somebody like that before? If you go to some churches, you find people like that. Oh, yes. People that smells like sheep. People that even look the way they walk, they almost walk like a sheep. But when they open their mouth, what a breath. It stinks like a moth. Oh, it is. It is a wolf. Wow. The best way for you to discern if it is a sheep or a wolf, pay attention to their mouth. But it comes out of their mouth, will tell you precisely, no matter how good a pretender they be. Be aware of false prophets who come disguised as a harmless sheep, but are really vicious, destructive wolves. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, New King James Version, those are the words of the Master himself. He knows. You will know these people by what they do and how they smell, how they walk, what they eat. Oh, by the way, that's my version. I'm just extending a little bit. You will know these people by what they do. And don't play innocent, because when you see something bad, the goodness inside of you immediately gives you a warning. That something is not right here. And sometimes we tell the Holy Spirit, would you please be quiet? Leave me alone. And we insist, and the Holy Spirit is anxious to drag us out of the trap, but we insist and go anyway. Here is the text that I want you, every time you think about God, think about this text too. There's another one, beautiful one in James as well. Grapes don't come from what? Is it possible for something good to produce what is bad? It doesn't work, common sense. And figs don't come from thorn weeds. Matthew chapter 7, verse 16, New Century Version. So from God come godliness. True Christians rebuke sin and expose sin. They don't compromise. False Christians, they practice sin and defend it. I don't know if you have seen people when they are caught doing something wrong, instead of saying, I'm very sorry, I'm going to do something to repair this, I apologize, it was by mistake and everything else. No. Sometimes people are very things, oh, I'm sorry. And you look at their face, you know that they are sorry about nothing. They are just telling you, I'm asking you permission to do it again to you. That's what it means, I'm sorry, I'm going to do it again. Sometimes people are in sin and they say, everybody's doing it. It's not a big deal. Or they say, I'm sorry, Pastor, I'm human. No, you're stupid. Because not only you did something wrong, but you're trying to justify, so you are really a fool. Don't apologize. Don't apologize. Do it. Sometimes apology is just an excuse for us to continue doing the same bad thing. Yes, there is a place for apology when you really intend never to do it again. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does, or she who does, the will of my Father in heaven. Not the Father in the Vatican, okay? It says the Father in heaven. Let's not get messed up between the two Fathers. The one they call holy, there is there in the Vatican, and there is the one that is really holy in heaven. This is Jesus speaking in chapter 7 of Matthew, verse 21, New King James Version. And then he says, verse 22, many will say to me in that day, what day is that? The final. At the end, Lord, Lord, oh Lord, we have prophesied in your name. Do you know who I am? I'm the pastor of a mad church. I have 30,000 members. I have 4 services every Sunday. And we heal people. We have a ministry in Africa. We have a ministry in India. We are so powerful. Haven't you heard of me? The Lord says, what? But you see, we cast out demons in your name and done so many wonders in your name. The whole world knows me. And this is what Jesus tells this individual. And then I will declare to them, not to him, but to them, I never knew you. Do you all know what the verb to know in the Bible means? To know in the Bible is like when a woman and a man become a husband and wife. They become one. So in the context of the scripture, when Jesus says, I do not know you, I'm not the head and you are the body. We have no connection. I'm not the groom and you are the bride. No, you are not my church. We are not part of one. We are not married. I have no idea who you are. I have never seen you. I don't know where you come from, but I know where you're going. Depart from me. You who practice lawlessness. You all understand what lawlessness means, right? The one who refuses to accept God's principles as is stipulated in his law. Because God's law is his character. Anybody who rejects the law rejects the character of God. Meaning, anybody who rejects the Ten Commandments are saying, I don't want to be like you. Basically, you're saying, I don't want to be where you are. Because if I spend too long in your presence, I'll become like you. So I don't want that. I'm so fine with my darkness. I want to be a counterfeiter. And they have their eye on you. They are trying to recruit you. Look at them. They are looking at you. They are trying to recruit. Be aware, for false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive. If possible, even good-looking Seventh-day Adventist ones. Even the elect can be deceived. So don't be naive. Sometimes, I don't know how many of you here, I hope none of you, but I know that maybe some of you, sometimes you turn on your television and there is this movie, there's some parts that is over too violent, or some spiritual thing. Somebody's playing magic, and we, our curiosity, we keep looking. What you put in your mind, will control you. What you put in your mind will shape you. And then later on, you're going to start having doubts. When you try to put the truth inside your mind, the truth will be bounced out because there is already too many damaging thoughts inside of your mind. You will reject God. You will reject everything that is decent because you chose to become a fake. Be aware of fake Christians. The destroyer is planting them in every church, in every pulpit, through books, even to some fancy corrupted Bible versions, people that twisted versions in order to mislead people. I had this, and I decided to share this quickly with you. I may not read everything, but this was published by Cardinal Gibbs. He was the New York Cardinal, and he wrote this in the Mirror, Catholic Mirror, September 23. You find on September 6, I think 9. I have in my computer the 32 pages of the document. It says here, this is, I just put a little part of it. The Pharisees of old kept the true Sabbath. You know what they talk about? This is the Catholic speaking, calling this Sabbath the true Sabbath. So he says, the Pharisees of old kept the true Sabbath. Our modern Pharisees, this is the Catholic now, accusing their daughters. Babylon accusing their daughters, the Protestant church. By the way, I mentioned this before, but I will repeat again. We Seventh-day Adventists, we are not a Protestant church. Protestant church means a separate Catholic. So don't go around calling yourself a Protestant because you are not, and you don't want to be part of that group. We are the remnant church. Do you know when the Seventh-day Adventist church started? In a Garden of Eden. Jesus was Seventh-day Adventist. Luke 4:16. All the apostles, they were Seventh-day Adventists. Luke Acts chapter 17. So don't go around saying, oh, my church was started in 1863. The organization, the corporation started, but the church is not. That's why we call the remnant. And then let's continue. It says, let me go back from the beginning. The Pharisees of old kept the true Sabbath. Are modern Pharisees counting on the credulity, thank you, and simplicity of their dupes, their fools, that means, have never once in their lives kept the true Sabbath, which their divine master, talk about Jesus Christ, kept to his dying day, and which his apostles also kept after his example for 30 years afterward, according to the sacred record, which talk about sacred scripture. This is a cardinal speak on behalf of the Vatican. Look what it says. The argument contained in this pamphlet is talking about the 32 pages. It says, are firmly grounded on the Word of God and having been closely studied with the Bible in hand, leave no escape for the conscientious Protestant except the abandonment of Sunday worship and return to Sabbath. I refuse to say Saturday. Sabbath. Okay? And then it continues. Commanded by their teacher, which is Jesus Christ, the Bible, which is the Word of God, or unwilling to abandon the tradition of the Catholic Church, which enjoys the keeping of Sunday and which they have accepted in direct opposition to their teacher, the Bible. Consistently accept her in all her teachings. It says, these people are claiming to have the Bible as the source of their truth, and yet they are following the Catholic Church. They are really being hypocrites. They are counterfeit, because you see, they are choosing Sunday over Sabbath. Reason and common sense demands the acceptance of one or the other. You know, or either you go and keep Sabbath, or you become a Catholic. You just come and join the Catholic Church and keep Sunday. Compromise is impossible. We are about to close. Here is a sample of the two laws. One in the Bible and one in the catechism. I was 10 years old, and I shared this already with some of you, when I attended catechism. There were some nuns that taught me how to pray Hail Mary, how to pray the rosary. I even bought a copy of the catechism, and we studied, and they also gave us a copy of the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments that I learned, that it was the Ten Commandments of the Bible. By the way, they never opened one single Bible. In the entire months that I studied the catechism, I never saw a Bible, and none of them opened a Bible. It was always the catechism. So it said to have God as the number one, as the first commandment. And then the second, they did not have not making images. They instead put the third as second. Thou not take the God's name in vain. And then they keep pulling everything up. And then comes the fourth, which they became the third. In Portuguese, they would say, keep Sunday and the festive days of the Catholic Church holy. No Sabbath. Why? Because in Portuguese, Sabbath is Sabbath. We say Sábado. So to avoid waking up the members, they say Sunday and festive days. And then all the commandments, then they realize, oh, we are missing one. So they went to the number 10, and they split in two. Thou shalt not covet your neighbor's wife, and thou not shalt covet all the things that your neighbor have. And they end up having 10. They have 10, now they have 8. Because they took the image out, and they took the Sabbath out. And doesn't the Bible says this to us, that anyone who break one, break them all? So that's why Jesus Christ is saying, you who has no law, lawlessness, who practice evil, iniquity, and in vain they worship me. It doesn't matter how many Sundays you go to church. Some people are saying this, and this is a very dangerous thing that we're saying right now. People are saying, oh, but they have good intentions. You know what a good intentions make? A fool to err with certainty. It just gives you security to be wrong. It says in vain. Do you know what in vain means? Anybody knows what vanity is? What is vanity? Vanity is idolatry. Is worship of self. When you put all the gold upon yourself instead of putting in God's hands, that is vanity. Teaching as doctrines the commandments of man. There is only one truth, brothers and sisters. There is only one God. There is only one Abba. there is only one path to eternal life. Yes, make time. If you make time for Abba, Abba will give you eternal time, eternal life. Make time for Abba's manner. The Sabbath matters. May God bless each one of you. Please don't let yourselves be fooled. It's awful to be fooled. Amen. Nobody, any human being that have a little bit of intelligence, and all of us do have, is, don't be a dupe. Don't let your people fool you. Don't let the devil deceive you. God has something wonderful reserved for you. I hope that you have let Him lead you to that wonderful life. Let's sing together. He leadeth me. Yes, Him. Nobody else.